there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Shouldn't you be at work?
And Love. Oh, and Love, he's got a real chance now. Peter and Love. John Walk will take the penalty.
Up goes Dion Dublin.
An own goal from Ruddock.
Four wide break here for Kiwabia.
Panister and Bruce in the queue again.
Bruce scores!
And Chris Bart-Williams is in.
Still Rule Fox. He's gone to the left. Oh.
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Tony Hutton.
No.
Hello and welcome to Quickly Kevin, Will He Score? I'm Chris Scott, and joining me as always is Josh Widdicombe.
Hello.
And very much the Nick Hancock of proceedings this afternoon, it's Michael Marden.
Hello.
And we're also delighted to be joined by Tom Parry.
Very pleased to be here.
Now, this is the last episode of Series 5, and as is tradition for the final episode, we have the Quickly Kevin's 90s football quiz. We'll get to that shortly, but seeing as we get so much great correspondence throughout the series, we thought we would also use this as an opportunity to go through some of our favourites we simply haven't had time for so far. Let's have some correspondence.
You've got mail.
This is from... Start with a short one from Jamie Malcolm. OK. So this is a... Can we have the... We don't use this enough. Can we have the Do I Remember This Right jingle?
Yeah, we've not had it this series.
No.
Do I remember this right?
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 Do I remember this right? Right.
I have a strong memory of a pre-match build-up of a Sunday afternoon game on Premiership Plus Channel being interrupted by what felt like home video footage of a rural church wedding. It only lasted for about 15 seconds before cutting back to George Graham in the studio and making no mention of the segue. The game possibly involved Norwich around the 2004-2005 season. Someone tell me I wasn't hallucinating. Can any of you...
Wow. What royal wedding would that have been?
No, it wasn't. Rural.
Oh, rural.
I thought you said royal.
No, rural.
Not just a random wedding.
Yeah. Someone... Like, home video footage of a rural wedding.
A rural wedding.
Was put into... Someone pressed the wrong button, obviously.
Someone's pressed the wrong button.
They've been editing their wedding video, do you think, at the studio?
No.
Oh, no.
It will be a live feed thing. Somebody has pressed the... In the sort of transmission centre, someone's pressed the wrong button.
And gone live to their cousin's
cut
wedding.
To like... It's an OB truck parked outside a church.
Poor people that are watching the cousin's wedding getting live footage of the Gold Rush Norwich game.
Do you?
Oh, he's nearly scored.
Okay, if you know that, then do get in touch with us. Gentlemen, I am fairly recent convert to your podcast and have been listening in chronological order from the first episode. This is from Peter. I noticed in your early shows one Efna Koku, my childhood hero, plays a recurring role. Maybe you've had enough stories regarding the Chief, have we?
No.
Right.
Never.
But I thought you might like to hear one nonetheless. Around 1995, as a 10-year-old, and I was one of approximately seven other young Wimbledon fans of the country, my world was turned upside down by the news that Efna Koku and Warren Barton would be holding a meet-and-greet in a local branch of Pizza Hut. The idea of being close to Big Efna and possibly smelling Warren's famous hair was too good an opportunity to miss. So I convinced my dad to take me and my friend Ben. Upon arrival, I was disappointed to find the two men missing, and in their place, sat alone, was young prospect Neil Ardley.
Sat alone's brutal, isn't it?
Neil didn't look exactly thrilled to be there, but he dutifully signed autographs and took it in good humour when I asked who he was.
Is he eating alone? Is he just happened to be there eating?
No, right.
They've cancelled the event. He's there on his own anyway.
He wanted to meet the chief.
Or you can eat buffet.
I don't think you can rule out that Neil Ardley's just having something to eat at this point.
After an hour or so of waiting, I was starting to lose hope. Then, as I was drowning my sorrows by the ice cream factory, TM, a commotion started behind me. And I turned around to see my two heroes enter the restaurant. They had their hands above their heads and were clapping the audience like when bands do when they enter the stage. Warren asked the staff to turn up the music and, if I remember correctly, Effen started shouting things along the line of, "Let's have it." It's important to remember this was 95 and he was from Manchester and thus "Let's have it" was completely acceptable for him to say. Neil sat there well-behaved while the other two appeared to ignore him. Maybe he was there! The pinnacle of the evening was a raffle where you could win the shirt of reserve player Stuart Castledean, who'd recently departed on loan to Wickham.
What?
By this time, Warren had taken over the MC duties and was now standing on a table waving the said shirt. He may or may not have mimed wiping his backside with the shirt before making some rather derogatory comments on Stuart's playing style.
Didn't Stuart Castledean turn up to a live show of ours?
Yeah, he did. He came to watch us at Leicester Square Theatre, Stuart Castledean.
Did he bring a shirt with him to raffle?
Would have known.
It's the least he could have done.
With hindsight, what I took as great enthusiasm on their behalf to be part of the meet and greet may well have been a case of them drinking heavily beforehand in order to get through the ordeal. Allegedly, we can't possibly. Yeah. It saddens me that with the advent of smartphones and social media, future generations won't have opportunities to be amongst the heroes in such a vulnerable proximity. Which Spurs fan wouldn't want to share a snakebite and black with Dele Alli and a beefeater? This was longer than I intended and possibly a little too libelous for broadcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did reliving it. Peter.
When was the last time a 90s footballer made a personal appearance in a Pizza Hut? Could it have been that?
Well,
a bit later?
Pizza Hut is such a low-grade place to make a personal appearance.
Not then.
Not in the ice cream factory.
Ice cream factory is like the pomp.
We're talking about, you know, Southgate, Pierce doing the advert.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they were intertwined.
They were intertwined.
This is long before Pizza Express turned up.
That one wasn't really a "Do I Remember This Right?" It's not like one of us was going to be there. Oh, yeah, no. We were there.
I've got a couple more "Do I Remember This Right?" OK. Jingle again, Michael?
I'm not playing it a second time.
Play the jingle again.
Do I remember this right?
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 Do I remember this right? Right.
Hi, gents. Listening to you guys talk about times when football and soap operas have become entwined, a distant memory may have been stirred from the France 98 World Cup final, where I seem to remember hearing the showpiece event of host France's versus the holders Brazil needed to have a later kick-off time than originally scheduled. Remarkably, this was because of a highly anticipated episode of EastEnders that would mean a large proportion of the UK would not tune in until later in the match.
No, that's not true. The World Cup aren't rescheduled. The biggest global sporting event in history is adjusting its timings because of the slot of one British
also,
soap.
I'm not going to lie, isn't EastEnders... It's not on a Sunday, unless it's the
Omnibus. Well, no, they did have specials, didn't they? Like, when Tiffany got run over.
That was like Christmas Day.
You might be right, Parry. The biggest question I've got is why you've plucked this email out for broadcast. It clearly can't be true, can it?
Well, I thought it was an interesting... It's very rare that we can settle a "Do I Remember This Right?"
Is that why
I'm
Ronaldo...
not just reading out the emails I feel that are most factually honest. I'm emailing the ones that are the most interesting as a debating point.
How would that conversation happen? Someone goes to Sepp Blatter. Sepp.
Yeah.
Grant. Well, I can carry on.
Grant Mitchell.
The BBC managed to convince FIFA to do this sounds completely unbelievable, and normally I would not have given this any credibility. However...
Here we go.
I also have another coincidental memory of this being on A Question of Sport, where I seem to recall Sue Barker posing the teaser, why was the France 98 World Cup final delayed for a bit of soap? The answer to which was the EastEnders conspiracy.
It feels like both of those things are part of the same fever dream. That's why I remember two bits of the same dream.
They'd never have riddles on Question of Sport, would they? Delayed by a piece of soap, like someone slipped on some soap, is clearly
that
the
could
implication.
That could be a home question in the home and away round.
Is that the answer to the conspiracy theory of why Ronaldo had such a bad final? Some say it was a fit in the hotel room when they made him play, but no, he's just a big fan of EastEnders.
caught the end of the omnibus.
Something to Grant Mitchell. Focus.
Ross Baxter has emailed in. Do you remember when we were discussing our favourite synonyms for goalkeeper?
Yeah.
He just writes, "Hello, gents. Net Shepherd is a personal favourite of mine." One more. "All right, fellas, big fan of the pod. Been enjoying the chat." This is from Mark Murphy. "About retro computer games from the 90s, especially with your recent post on Twitter regarding ISS Pro 64 and then commentator yelling, Greece. ISS Pro was known for its iconic commentary. However, I think this could be matched by the Champions League video games on PS1. Like ISS, the gameplay was good at the time. The commentary, not so much. I vividly remember when a team would get a free kick near the opposition's area. The commentary, provided by Brian Moore, I believe, would seemingly get stuck and begin shouting, 'Dangerous! Dangerous! Dangerous! Dangerous!' I don't know if this was a glitch in the game or a genuine effort to provide realistic commentary." Can anyone else remember? What is the game called? The Champions League video games.
I have no memory of that.
No.
Well, if you've got any of that or anything on this, this is how you get in touch.
Get in touch with the show. Email hello@quicklykevin.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at @quicklykevin. And sign up to the mailing list at quicklykevin.com.
Thank you for all your correspondence this series, but now for the quiz.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
Yes, it's time now for the mildly anticipated, factually inconsistent, Quickly Kevin end of series 90s football quiz. Now, you may have noticed this series we only have one guest in the studio. The reason for this being Josh is as yet undefeated in the end of series quiz. So I thought to give Chris a chance to stem the humiliating flow of defeats.
All right, mate.
Bloody hell.
And as a tribute... And as a tribute to a much-loved 90s quiz show, Blockbusters, this series, it will be a 2v1 format, which we are affectionately calling Josh Busters.
Oh, lovely.
Josh Busters.
Michael Marden. As discussed, Josh will be facing off against Chris and Tom to see who is crowned Series 5's champion. You'll also win a £100 voucher from Classic Football Shirts.
Ooh,
and this is the big one, the last ever Graham Says Hitler's mug off the production line.
Oh!
They may never be produced again.
And if they are, they'll be produced at high quality.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who's already bought one.
And just a final bit of admin for anyone listening to this quiz for the first time, months or even years from now, please, please don't email or tweet me pointing out the factual inconsistencies. There will definitely be some, and you won't have been the first person to highlight them.
Make it you.
Right, let's get on with the quiz.
But I'll tell you, you can tell him now if you're watching it, we're still fighting for this title. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Okay, so the first round is called 90s Football Starter for One. The teams will face a series of general knowledge starter questions about 90s football. The first team to buzz in with the correct answer will receive 1 point and will then be able to exclusively answer 3 bonus questions on 90s football for an additional 1 point each. However, if you buzz in and incorrectly guess the starter question, you will be deducted 1 point and the question will be thrown over to the opposing team to answer. Everyone happy with those rules?
Yeah.
Okay. If Josh buzzes in first, you'll hear this sound.
Hit leg over the top!
And if Chris or Tom buzz in, you'll hear this sound.
Can we not knock it?
How are you feeling, Skull? Confident?
Yes. Yeah, I am this time.
Are you feeling confident?
I've got it.
No, absolutely not. I just like being part of the quiz. So
Tom!
OK, fingers on buzzers. Here is your first starter question. Who were the first 3 managers to win the Premier League?
Hit leg! legs! Hit a leg over the top!
Josh.
Sir Alex Ferguson.
It was just Alex Ferguson at the time, so that's correct.
Sir Kenny Dalglish. Is he a sir?
No.
He wasn't then.
And Sir Arsene Wenger.
Correct.
Oh, damn.
So...
Sir Banter certainly bought me some time.
Your bonus questions are on managerial replacements in the 90s. Question one. Who replaced Jerry Francis as Spurs boss when he left in November 97?
George Graham?
Christian Gross.
Oh, Christian Gross.
Question two. Who replaced Graham Souness as Liverpool manager when he left in January 1994?
Roy Evans.
Correct. And finally, question three. Who replaced Glenn Hoddle as Chelsea manager when he left in May 1996? Correct. Yes.
Well done.
Okay.
Come on, Perry. Here is your next.
We could have got that, all of those. Yeah.
Here's your next starter question. At the USA 94 World Cup, what was unique about Gianfranco Zola's red card on July the 5th, 1994 against Nigeria, making him the only player in history to suffer this unfortunate fate?
Hit legs! Hit legs over the top!
Josh.
Was he a sub? Did he never come on the pitch or something like that?
Incorrect.
Can we allowed to confer?
Yep. So, I'll repeat the question. At the USA 94 World Cup, what was unique about Gianfranco Zola's red card on July the 5th, 1994 against Nigeria, making him the only player in history to suffer this unfortunate fate?
What are you thinking I was going to say? It was after the full-time whistle.
The only player in history. So that implies it's all competitions.
World Cup competitions.
World Cup competitions. So it's got to be, he's broken a rule, isn't he, that no one else has. What kind of rule would he have broke? Like, could you get sent off for not having shin pads or something like that?
With that one, I reckon.
Well, Steve Claridge would have never played.
I mean, it is a very difficult question.
I think maybe something like maybe his kit falling apart or something.
You're obsessed on what he's wearing.
It's the one where he wouldn't take his hat off. He was wearing a top hat and he wouldn't take it off.
Had he not come onto the pitch? Well, it was after he'd been substituted? How about it was after he'd been substituted?
It's surely something he's done as opposed to.
But he could have come off, had a
was
go
he wearing
at an official
pantyhose
and got sent off.
They were considered too sexy.
Oh, was it after the game had finished?
I think that's the best we've come up with.
Yeah.
Do you think it's better than his kit falling apart? His kit fell apart to reveal his lacy underwear.
What's the carry-on, Phil?
I don't know if he'd be sent off.
Well, I think it
started raining.
Yeah, for being
his kit melted.
he was wearing body paint. He was wearing body paint as the kit, like an FHM girl.
Yeah, for some reason that clip isn't something we've all seen a million times.
Okay. So what's your obviously incorrect answer?
Fuck.
Are
any of them right? Those ones.
Okay, the correct answer was he was sent off in a World Cup on his birthday.
For fuck's sake!
He was wearing a...
you've got to celebrate somehow.
his birthday suit.
What do you mean no one's ever been sent off on their birthday? How can you even check that?
Well, somebody somewhere has checked it. No one...
This is absolute rubbish.
Only one player in history has been sent off on
the World Cup.
Going back to the 30s? Some of those South Americans don't even have birth certificates in, like, Uruguay.
I mean, this is not a hill worth dying on.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Let's stay upbeat. We have to remember...
Can I just ask...
VAR.
What do you mean by some South Americans don't even have birth certificates?
What was it, the first World Cup, 1930?
In Uruguay.
In Uruguay.
They famously didn't have birth certificates.
Well, isn't that... I mean, admin wasn't a forte of anyone in back then.
People never get sent off a birthday because they're in such a good mood.
No one wants a birthday card.
Am I right?
Your birthday.
OK. Starter question number three. Fingers on buzzers. Who is the only player to have played for Manchester United, Manchester City, Everton and Liverpool?
Hit legs! Hit legs over the top!
Josh.
Oh, I don't know. David Burrows. That's not correct.
Incorrect. Pass it over. You can confer.
City, United,
Everton and Liverpool.
I City. I thought it was Andrei Kanchelskis. I was an idiot. It's a different question.
Is it?
It's got to be you. It's got to be a United youth player, isn't it?
As a clue, this did happen in the 80s and 90s.
Cotty?
Didn't play for United. City, United, Everton and Liverpool.
It's big, isn't it?
How do you move between those four? You'd have to do it in such a sequence to not offend people.
But he went back into the 80s, though.
Yeah.
Mark Walters? Did he ever do? No.
Okay. Let's go with that.
Mark Walters?
The correct answer was Peter Beardsley.
He played for United.
He played for Man City.
He started in the youth at United, played one appearance in the League Cup.
Can't really talk about him anymore, anyway. I thought I knew it was him, but I thought you wouldn't want to bring him up.
Okay, next starter question, fingers on buzzers. During the 1990 World Cup, what did the United Arab Emirates players receive as a prize for every goal they scored?
Can we not knock it?
Chris?
Birth certificate?
It's going to be, a cow.
What?
It was supposed to be something like that.
I think a car.
Car?
Have we hired German clerks? South Americans don't have birth certificates.
Come on. Everybody's thinking
it's going to be a cow. What?
It's going to be
Is it a cow?
Of course it's not a cow.
Oh.
It was, in fact, a Rolls Royce. Have you not?
No.
Apologies, I thought you'd buzzed in. Well.
Well, I made a joke about pantyhose, but that was that was in the Peter Beardsley question, so it would feel unfair to count that as my answer for this.
No.
What was it? I missed what you said.
The correct answer was a Rolls Royce.
Oh! What?
But I don't think you'd have got there.
No, I was saying car.
Car.
Okay.
It's going to be a cow, isn't it? Cow!
Next start question, fingers on buzzers.
Turns out the whole quiz was being carried by whoever was with me.
During Italia 90, two cities away from the Italian mainland hosted matches. Can you name one of the two?
Hit legs over the top!
Josh.
Sardinia.
Yeah.
It's not a city, unfortunately.
What is the island of
Sardinia. Pass it over to you guys, you may confer.
What's the city on Sardinia?
What's that island?
I mean, bear in mind, both of these cities are where a club would be based.
Wait, what are you doing? You didn't give me an option last time, and now they don't just get a second go. They get a clue. This is unbelievable.
Who's there? Oh, fuck me.
Palermo. Palermo's on Sicily.
Okay.
Palermo.
Correct.
Come on.
Michael's
fixing
this.
Bring it on.
Your bonus questions are on USA 94.
Shin pads, final answer.
all his clothes fell off, final answer.
Final answer. Bonus question
Whatever
one.
Whatever this is, I'm picturing that the answer's all his clothes fell off.
Bonus question one. What did all 15 penalties awarded...
All their clothes fell off.
We all know.
What did all 15 penalties awarded in open play at USA 94 have in common?
Taken by players' clothes and fall off.
They were all scored?
I know.
Can you please repeat the question? Sorry.
What did all 15 penalties awarded in open play at USA 94 have in common?
It's got to be they're all scored, right?
I think so.
Correct.
Great.
Bonus question two. Apart from the host nation, which North American team were the first to qualify for the World Cup?
Counting Mexico in that.
You can't. There's no one else.
It's got to be Mexico.
Mexico.
Correct.
Who else could it have been?
USA, Canada.
It was apart from the hosts. And Canada weren't in it. That's the easiest question of all time.
It's only easy if you know it, Josh.
Bonus question number three. Where did the draw for the 1994 World Cup finals take place?
America? You can't get
in
that.
You're going to need to be more specific.
The White House.
That's a good shout.
It's not bad, is it?
Nah. Yeah, go on.
White House.
The correct answer was Las Vegas.
Ah. How the hell are we getting that?
FIFA in gambling. Their absolute pomp.
Gambling.
Yeah, FIFA in their pomp.
Oh, imagine,
of course it's gonna
imagine
be Vegas.
The amount of five stars.
Fucking hell.
Okay.
The scenes that went on that weekend. Oh, FIFA on a jolly. Oh, yes, please.
Why don't we do the draw in Vegas? Great idea.
Fingers on buzzers. Here is your final starter question. Can you name two of the four French clubs Eric Cantona played for before joining Leeds in 1992?
Can we not knock it?
Barry?
I'm going to say Lille and Marseille.
I think it's...
Whoa. This can be passed.
Incorrect.
I think you're off.
Pass over to Josh.
Bordeaux?
Yeah.
And?
Can I have one of his?
Yeah.
Do I want them?
It's up to you.
Ooh.
I think, yeah.
Bordeaux and Marseille.
Shit.
Correct.
Oh,
sorry.
It's all right.
What were the other two?
We're doing all right.
The other two were Auxerre and Nîmes. Your bonus questions are on footballer family ties. How, and I need to be specific with the answer, how is Rio Ferdinand related to Les Ferdinand?
Cousins, I think.
I need to be more specific than that.
They're like brothers, though.
Like, they really...
They see each other at Christmas. First cousins?
Second cousins.
Oh, I don't really know the difference.
First cousins is cousins, isn't it?
Yeah.
Second bonus question. Who is older, Phil or Gary Neville?
Gary.
Correct. Third and final bonus question. How are Terry Butcher and Pat Nevin related?
They both played together for Rangers.
It's a family connection.
It's a family connection. They are brothers-in-law.
They are cousins.
Really?
Yeah.
No. How's that never come up?
Yeah, I saw that as well when I discovered that fact. Yeah,
I'd have enjoyed that question more if it had just stopped after Pat Nevin. How are Terry Butcher and Pat Nevin?
Oh, they're all right, actually. Not bad. Looking forward to Christmas.
Okay, that's the end of that round.
Voting differently, I imagine.
That's the end of that round.
Oh, imagine the arguments politically. Sorry, carry on, Michael.
Imagine all their clothes falling off.
Okay, the next round is the familiar favourite, starting 11.
Oh, God, I hate this one.
This is how it works. In this round, I will give you a classic football match from the 90s. Each team will then take it in turn to name a player from either side who appeared in that game. If at any point you name a player who did not appear during the match, you are eliminated. That includes unused substitutes. If you name a player who came on as a sub, you must pick again. As Josh is ploughing a lone furrow, he will get an extra life. The last team left standing wins 5 points and there is no conferring. So... the game in question is Manchester United's humiliating 5-0 defeat to Newcastle, 20th of October 1996 at St James's Park. We tossed the coin before the show. Josh, you will kick things off.
Philippe Albert. Yeah?
Correct.
Who's going next?
Chris, Tom, who would like to go first?
Schmeichel.
Yeah. Correct.
Alan Shearer.
Correct.
Robert Lee.
Correct.
Sir Les Ferdinand.
Correct.
Warren Barton.
Ooh. He came on as a substitute.
Yeah, he'd been a Pizza Hut.
So you must pick again.
You can't start after a belly full of pizza and ice cream, can you? Got off the bench.
Ryan Giggs.
Oh, dear.
What?
Oh, dear.
Incorrect.
Oh, Paris gone.
Tom is eliminated.
What year was it?
No.
1996. I can only presume he was injured. So, Josh.
Andy Cole? Come on.
Incorrect.
Oh!
So, you're...
so it's me v Skull, basically, isn't it?
Yeah. Skull, over to you.
I'm just trying to be really safe. Pavel Cernacek?
Correct.
Oh, where was Shaka Hislop when you needed him? Steve Howie? Oh, God. He'd have been there straight away. He's not going to be surprisingly playing up front for Man U, is he?
Incorrect.
Oh!
So the points go to Chris and Tom. The rest of the team
Bruce.
Were... for Newcastle, Peter Beardsley, Steve Watson, John Beresford... Darren Peacock, David Ginola and David Batty. Yeah. For United, Carol Poborski, Eric Cantona, Gary Neville, Dennis Irwin, Ronnie Johnson, Gary Palliser, David Beckham, Nicky Butt, David May and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Could easily have got all of those.
Yeah.
Ooh.
OK, the next round is all about footballers and their taste in music.
Oh, yes, please.
Now, we get a lot of old copies of Shoot and Match magazines sent to us, and one of the best features in those magazines are the player profiles where they list their favourite music, food, books and films, etc. So for this question, I'm going to give you a list of seven 90s footballers and a list of seven musical artists. What I want you to do is correctly identify... which footballer picked which musician
when asked
if they could be a pop star for a day, who would they be?
Oh, my word.
So you get 1 point for each correct answer. Here are your footballers. Gary Flitcroft, John Salako, Dean Holdsworth.
You know, Gary Flitcroft, he actually tried to stop them legally publishing which band he'd like to be. It went to court and then 2 years later had to reveal it.
That is a really deep cut niche joke that I suspect 5% of the audience will really enjoy.
Dean Holdsworth, Frank Sinclair, Gareth Southgate, John Hartson and Scott Gemmell. And your musicians...
What a squad.
Your musicians are Rod Stewart, Liam Gallagher, Gary Barlow, Devante Swing from Jodeci, Barry White, Bon Jovi and Prince. And while they work out their answers, here are some of those players in action.
Surely we want the music. Surely.
Why are you picking the players over the...
Come on.
Can't we have the
play the music, Michael?
Bit of the players, bit of the music.
Okay.
Come on. Ping between the two.
Whilst they pick their answers, here are the players in action set to the music. But for those playing at home, the player that's playing under that specific piece of music isn't necessarily the player that picked that piece of music.
Okay.
He got back there. The shot coming in. Oh, it's there. Gary Flitcroft, the scorer. It's fourth of the season. And that was a beautifully taken goal.
Come Wimbledon again. And this is Holdsworth. Held him off well. And a really good finish as well. Sixth of the season for Dean Holdsworth.
Scott Gemmell! What a finish by Gemmell. Right-footed, edge of the penalty area. That's his first goal for Everton.
Steady Eddie in the corner for Middlesbrough. Good punch out. Southgate! Oh, I say, Gareth Southgate! What an incredible strike! Right-footed just outside the area. Look at that!
Boost, the ball in, great header, good stop by Walker, oh but from the rebound, Salako's done it for Coventry.
Clever back heel by Zola, and room on the right hand side again for Chelsea to exploit. Great run here. Oh, and it's there! Superb goal by Sinclair. An individual effort. How about that?
Back to the wall. And here's Hartson. That's a lovely first touch.
kicking header from there, and he's hit that one. Hartson, an unstoppable finish out of nothing.
So this is who they would like to be.
Yeah, the question was, if they could be a pop star for a day, who would they like to be?
This is the most difficult quiz I've ever done in my life. I can't find any of them that I do.
I find that I'm doing this based on their hair.
Just got a feeling.
Yeah, that is great.
That.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
It's funny when you trap yourself in the final couple of answers and you're like, no, hang on.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute disaster.
So, I'm going to ask for your answers and if you can show your workings as you do. So, first up, Gary Flitcroft. Josh, who did you go for?
Liam Gallagher. My workings are, he's a Northwest boy, he's kind of young, he was a bit kind of rock and roll, wasn't he? So I'm going to go with Gary Flitcroft for Liam Gallagher.
Chris and Tom?
We've gone Devante Swing from Jodeci, and we did paint ourselves into a bit of a corner of Gary
Flitcroft. Was that one of your last?
It was what we were left with, and so we kind of squared it away as.
And I think Gary would probably go for someone a bit niche and something.
Okay, John Sulaco. Josh, who did you pick?
I went with John Sulaco as Devante Swing from Jodeci.
We've gone with John Sulaco as Prince.
Flair players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Dean Holdsworth.
I've gone with Barry White, Shagger.
Allegedly.
Holdsworth, we've gone with Jovi.
Bon.
Hair.
Yeah.
Okay, Frank Sinclair.
That's a good one, actually. Frank Sinclair, I've gone Prince.
We've gone Barry White, both very stocky.
Gareth Southgate.
Barlow.
Very boring. Very boring.
A safe pair of hands.
John Hartson.
We've gone Rod Stewart because I think they're both relatively flamboyant.
So have I.
There's a Celtic connection, isn't there?
Okay, and finally, Scott Gemmell.
Bon Jovi.
Liam Gallagher, rock and roll.
Okay, let's find out the answers. The correct answers, Gary Flitcroft, when asked if he could be a pop star for a day, who would he be, said Gary Barlow.
Oh, no!
It all unravels now.
Yeah, I've got two on already.
Very similar haircuts at the time, those two. Yeah. John Sulaco said he would like to be Prince.
Yes.
Nailed it. Oh,
damn.
Dean Holdsworth said he would like to be Rod Stewart.
Oh. I'm not going to lie to you.
Frank
Sinclair. So, can I just say at this point, unless Scott Gemmell's Bon Jovi, I've got every single one wrong already.
Frank Sinclair said he would like to be Devante Swing from Jodeci. Gareth Southgate said he would like to be Bon Jovi. John Hartson said Barry White. And Scott Gemmell said Liam Gallagher.
Yeah!
Oh, there you go.
Disaster.
So Josh scores zero points that round.
And we've got 2 points.
Chris and Tom score two.
Score for that.
Great going forward. Pops you at the back, mate. I can't keep a good man down.
The next round is succinctly titled Play Your Squad Numbers and International Caps at the Time of the Tournament Right. This round is a variation on the classic higher lower parlour game Play Your Cards Right. Here's how it works, and please listen carefully. In the pot in front of you are all 22 members of the French France 98 World Cup squad. I will randomly pick the first player from the pot and reveal his squad number and the total number of international caps the player had at the start of the tournament. You will then take it in turns to pull out a random player. Once you have picked the player, you will then have three options. Option one, you can guess if your player pick was allocated a squad number higher or lower than the preceding player picked for France 98. Option two, you can guess if your player pick at the beginning of the France 98 tournament had a higher or lower number of international caps than the player preceding. Or option three, and this is the big one, you can choose to guess if both the squad number and the international caps were higher or lower than the preceding player. If you pick option one or two and guess correctly, your team will score 1 point and stay in the game. If you decide to pick option three and gamble correctly on both the squad number and the amount of international caps, you will score 3 points. If at any point you guess incorrectly, your team will be eliminated from the round. Josh, you will obviously get an extra life. So that means if you pick option three, you must get both the high-low gambles correct to win the points and stay in the game. Once your team is eliminated, the points you've scored up to that point are yours to keep.
However, the opposing team will have the option to keep playing and amassing points until they also guess incorrectly. I have randomly pulled from the hat Christophe Dugarry. Dugarry. Okay.
It's a good card to start. It's a good card.
His squad number at the start of the tournament was number 21. And his international caps was 23. Tom, would you like to kick things off?
Yeah. Pires, Robert Pires.
So you can tell me, was his squad number higher or lower? Were his international caps higher or lower? Or both?
I'm going to say international caps higher. Oh.
Incorrect.
Oh! What a
just the corners of your smile just turned down.
Fucking hell. God damn it.
At the start of the tournament, Robert Pires had 13 caps compared to Dugarry's 23. His squad number was number 11.
That's a low number.
Bearing in mind there are only 22 players in the squad and yeah, Dugarry was assigned number 21, I'd say that was a risky choice.
Only 13 caps.
Okay.
So mate. Harry is eliminated. Josh, pick your name from the hat.
Never heard of him. Vincent Candela.
So you need to decide, was his squad number...
I think his squad number's higher than 11.
It's got to be 22, isn't it?
It can't be in the first 10 people, can he?
Okay, and then...
I'm not interested in his caps.
Not interested in his caps? Okay, so you are saying his squad number was higher than 11.
It's got to be, isn't it?
The correct answer, or his squad number, was number 2.
What?! Oh, my God!
That's... French right-backs are a weird breed, aren't they?
So, Josh, you have lost a life.
And what's his caps?
And his international caps pre-tournament was 10. Chris, your turn to pick one from the hat.
This has been an absolute shower of rubbish. Absolutely awful.
This round deserves better, though. It's a good round.
Yeah, it's a good round.
Christian Carambo.
Oh, don't know what that means. For me, it's saying, oh.
It's a hand out and that.
So you need to tell us, was his squad number higher or lower than 2? And were his international caps higher or lower than 10?
It's got to be higher than 10. Because he's retiring in... I mean, he's a big player. It's just a gamble.
Just play it safe with lower than 2.
This is a real... this is... Because he... Oh, mind you, they didn't play... Okay, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to say his squad number's higher than 2. I'm going to regret that.
His squad number was number 19.
He's going to have more caps than 10.
So that's 1 point. And his caps pre-tournament was 31.
Fucking hell.
It's all right. Still in the game.
Right.
Josh, your turn.
Second life. Please be Barthez. David Trezeguet. What was his caps? 31, Carambo.
So squad number was number 19 and caps 31.
I'm going to go all in. I think he's lower on both.
OK, so David Trezeguet, pre-tournament, international caps, I think 4.
I think he wears number 20.
No!
I think he does. I think he's got what? 20. I think he's got 20 or 22 on his back.
Squad number, number 20.
No! God.
Yes.
Oh,
isn't that a big thing with Trezeguet?
So it's just Chris left in the game to continue amassing points.
And what was his squad number? So
his squad number was 20, and his caps were 4.
Yeah.
So there's a real chance to amass some points here.
Frank Leboeuf is going to have his squad numbers lower than 20, and he's got more caps than 4.
Wallop.
Correct on both counts.
Oh, my word.
His squad number is 18, and his caps are 13.
Lionel Charbonnier, the substitute goalkeeper. He's going to... what was the last one? Leboeuf. He's going to have a lower number and less caps.
So, pre-tournament, he had one international cap.
Yeah.
And, thankfully, the French manager... picked squad numbers according to my system, and Charbonnier wears number 22.
Unbelievable.
So Chris is eliminated.
There was a real chance there.
That was a real chance to amass some points.
It's time now for the final round of the first half, 90s Football Mastermind. Each player will have 90 seconds to answer 10 questions on their chosen specialist subject, 1 point for each correct answer. This time round, Chris and Josh will play. In the second half, Tom will take the hot seat along with Josh for a second time. So first in the spotlight tonight is Chris.
Love the Mastermind.
And in a controversial move to shift this podcast away from the 90s, Chris has chosen for his subject Euro 2000. I was tempted to only write questions about the qualifying matches for Euro 2000 that took place during the 90s, but we'll extend the remit on this occasion.
Chris said to me before this, what was your revision?
That I could guess the questions he was going to ask and that I would just revise specific pieces of information.
Okay, okay. What are you expecting to come up?
So, Michael, do not cheat. Top scorers, Patrick Kluivert and Savo Milosevic, each with 5 goals.
Yeah.
The semi-finals were Portugal and France and Italy, Netherlands. David Trezeguet scored the golden goal in the final. The referee was Anders Frisk. There were 16 teams in the tournament.
If that comes up, then.
And it was the first European tournament to be split across 2 countries.
Any more?
And Alan Shearer as an answer.
Okay. Let's find out. Your 90 seconds start.
Do you want me to do the timing?
Now. Who was the referee for England's 1-0 win over Germany on the 17th of June 2000?
Pierluigi Collina.
Correct. Which two nations hosted the tournament?
Belgium and the Netherlands.
Correct. Name one of the 2 goalkeepers in the UEFA team of the tournament.
Fabian Barthez.
Correct. In England's opening game, 3-2 defeat to Portugal, which 2 England players scored?
Scholes and McManaman.
Correct. Which Serbian player scored the only own goal of the tournament?
Milosevic.
Incorrect. Govedirasia. England had 1 referee at the tournament. Who was it?
Kalina?
Graham Pohl.
Oh, sorry. Oh, right.
What was the name of the tournament mascot?
I meant to revise baggy, that for Euro 92.
I don't know.
Bene Lucky.
Yeah, Bene Lucky.
Name one of the 2 joint top scorers at the tournament.
Patrick Kluivert.
Correct. Who won the third place playoff?
The Risen One.
Correct. And finally, France beat Italy 2-1 in the final, but who scored the winning goal?
David Trezeguet.
Boom.
Congratulations, Chris. You scored a smug 7 out of 10. Josh, you're next in the hot seat. You have 90 seconds to answer 10 questions on your chosen specialist subject, which is the Spice Boys.
I haven't revised this. Because I thought, I don't know how you revise this.
Yeah.
Because it's not a specific...
It's a sprawling topic.
It's a sprawling topic, and it's a matter of opinion. But I'm going to go Armani.
Your time starts now. Which newspaper coined the term?
Sun.
The Mirror.
Oh.
Which member of the Spice Girls was Robbie Fowler rumoured to have been dating?
Mel C.
Emma B, Baby Spice.
Emma B? No one's ever called her Emma B.
Which member of the Spice Boys starred in a Head & Shoulders advert?
Oh, it was Jason M.
Correct. During this period, which pop star allegedly performed for the Liverpool team on the coach to a game to Villa Park?
Louise Redknapp.
Robbie Williams.
Oh.
The famous FA Cup final cream suits were made by who and were chosen by which Liverpool player?
Stan Collymore.
It's David James.
Oh.
Who scored the winning goal in the FA Cup final defeat to Manchester United?
Cancelor.
What did Liverpool player and Spice Boy Steve McManaman share in common with the Spice Girls?
He was at the forefront of girl power. They moved to Real Madrid.
They both shared the same manager, Simon Fuller.
Oh,
really?
Incredible.
At the infamous 1998 Christmas party, which Liverpool player was reported to be seen cavorting with whipped cream and strippers dressed as the Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Never heard. Was it the Pizza Hut?
Robbie Fowler.
Jamie Carragher.
Oh, what is this? Early?
What brand were the shoes? I've started, so I'll finish.
Yeah.
What brand were the shoes the Spice Boys wore at the 1996 FA Cup final?
Patrick Cox. Only because they're mentioned on TFI Friday around the same time. Chris Evans is wearing them.
Gucci.
Oh.
Josh,
awful.
You have scored...
Three.
Well, you got one of Armani and David James wrong, so you got 2 out of 10.
Two. That's tough, that. Didn't enjoy that.
That whistle means it's half time while the teams go off for an inspirational team talk.
and you can fucking pick someone else to go behind, you can bring your fucking dinner. Because by the time I'm finished with you, you'll fucking need it.
And I work out the scores. Here's a quick word from our sponsors.
This is new isotonic Lucozade Sport. It gets to your thirst fast. Isotonic means it's in balance with your body fluids.
Welcome back to the Quickly Kevin 90s Football Quiz. After a fiercely contested first half, I can reveal that Tom and Chris are in the lead.
Massively.
This is strange.
So, can they hold on to that lead, or will they crumble like Keegan in the 95-96 season? It's time to find out in part two. So this next round, we did a Instagram live call out in the studio and asked our listeners to set questions for Chris, Tom and Josh. This is going to be a fastest fingers
first.
There's
so many questions.
Question. I'm going to just pick five at random. Thank you to everyone that sent them in. We haven't got time to do them all. I'm also not pre-reading them, so this could go badly.
All right.
First question. This is from Ian Sheriffs. Chris Sutton scored his one and only league goal for Chelsea in a 5-0 drubbing of treble-winning United at Stamford Bridge. Who was in goal for United?
Hit legs over the top!
Josh?
Massimo Taibbi.
Correct.
Oh! I thought it was going to be someone interesting. If that was Peter Schmeichel, it would be the most boring email we'd ever received.
Okay. He started performing, now there's an audience.
He suddenly stepped up to the plate.
Okay, next question, fingers on buzzers. This is from Mike Dorr. As we all probably know, Brian Deane scored the first ever goal in the Premiership, but who scored the second?
Can we not knock it?
Should we just guess?
Come on then, let's guess.
I'll go Dean Saunders.
It would have been Sheffield United.
No, they were all Nigel Clough.
He says also Brian Deane. He scored a pen after Alan Cork was brought down in a 2-1 victory at Old Trafford. This one's from James Laycock. Who was the first on-loan player to win the Premier League Player of the Month in April 1999? April 99, first on-loan player. I'll give you a clue. He played for Everton.
Can we not knock it?
Scar's gone in.
He's looked!
No, I haven't. Andre Kaczelskis.
I don't know.
The correct answer was Kevin Campbell, who was on loan from Trabzonspor. Okay.
These are quite hard.
They are quite difficult. Which former Barcelona player made an appearance in the Premier League while also being employed as an international manager?
These are so tough. Our audience.
Can you read that again, Michael? Sorry.
Which former Barcelona player made an appearance in the Premier League whilst also being employed as an international manager?
Former Barcelona.
Played in the Premier League whilst also managing an international team. And he played for Barcelona.
Hit legs over the top!
Yari Litmanen.
Incorrect.
Who's the Bolton player? Ivan Campo. No,
the correct answer was Mark Hughes.
It's a girl. I mean, that Barcelona player's not helping you, is it? It's actually
That's
making...
That's why they've done it.
That's okay. Why they've tried... This is the worst round ever, people.
Okay, this one's from Philippe Dickinson. Which forward scored a hat-trick
That's
on...
That's a disappointing sonner, isn't it? Philippe Dickinson.
I mean, let's not go in on our listeners. Which forward...
Philippe is such a great first name. And then
are you pronouncing it properly?
Yeah, is it Philippe Dickinson?
Well, he's put two P's in the Philippe, so I can only...
Has he got an E on the end?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which forward scored a hat-trick on the last day of the 91-92 season to relegate Plymouth and clinch a playoff spot for Blackburn? He was sold to Southampton later that summer as part of the deal to bring Alan Shearer to Ewood Park.
It was at the match.
Just say that question again.
Which forward scored a hat-trick on the last day of the 91-92 season to relegate Plymouth and clinch a playoff spot for Blackburn?
Hit legs over the top!
Josh is not going to be this.
It's not Duncan Shearer, is it? Because you'd know that he'd been swapped with Alan Shearer.
Incorrect.
Mike Newell.
No, the correct answer was David Speedy. Okay.
Do you know what? I saw that come up as well as an answer and I ignored it.
One final question then.
Yeah.
Which 90s Premier League player has scored the most goals without winning an international cap?
Great question.
Can we not knock it?
Chris.
I've buzzed. Kevin Campbell.
The correct answer was Kevin Campbell.
Really good!
Yes, there we go.
Come on, Barry. That's made it worth it. Thank you very much, everyone.
The next round is another quickfire buzz round. Over the summer, I picked up a copy of the Trivial Pursuit France 98 World Cup edition board game. So these following 90s football general knowledge questions are all from that game. First team to buzz in with the correct answer will get the point. If you guess incorrectly, it's passed over to the other team to try and answer. Fingers on buzzers. Here's your first question. Whose Channel 4 biographical documentary was almost called The Crying Game?
Hit legs over the top!
Josh.
Graham Taylor.
Incorrect.
What? Oh,
Paul Gascoigne.
Correct.
Oh, well done, Barry.
Question number two. Who was Britain's first million-pound goalkeeper?
Hit legs over the top!
It was the first million-pound goalie. Don't know.
David James.
No. Wait, I know this.
Incorrect.
He was signed by... Oh, just tell me.
Well, he's a man that enjoys five drinks. It's Nigel
Martin.
At USA 94, what happened for the first time when Brazil played Italy in the final?
Hit legs over the top!
Josh.
Clothes fell off.
Everyone's clothes fell off. Come on.
It was an absolute classic. Panties all over the shop. Point, please.
Incorrect. You guys want an answer?
It was a penalty shootout.
It was the first World Cup decided on penalties, yeah. Yes. Question number four. For which team did Thierry Henry make his professional debut in 1994?
Hit legs over the top!
Josh.
Monaco?
Correct.
Oh.
Question number five. Eric Cantona scored the first ever Premier League hat-trick in a 5-0 win over Spurs in August 92, but which Norwich striker scored the second in November of that year?
Hit legs over the top!
Josh.
Robert Fleck?
Incorrect.
Chris... Sutton. What?
Yeah.
Chris Sutton.
The correct answer was Mark Robbins. Question number six. In the 1995-96 season, which club was the first to field four overseas players?
Can we not knock it?
Chris.
Manchester United.
Incorrect.
Chelsea.
Incorrect. The correct answer.
Middlesbrough?
Was Man City.
Oh.
Question number seven. Which British manager was sacked by Real Madrid in 1990?
Can we not knock it?
Chris.
John Toshack. I think it's too early, isn't it?
Correct.
Oh, lovely.
And finally, who played every league game in his first season with the club as Arsenal won the 90-91 title?
Can we not knock it?
Chris.
Nigel Winterburn.
Incorrect. Josh.
David Seaman.
Correct. Time for the next round. One of the staples of 90s football was the pain or glory of a penalty shootout.
But England would feel pretty happy about Stuart Pearce coming up in this situation. The man who doesn't mince his words and really doesn't mess about when it comes to hitting a football. Oh, and he's hit it too straight. It just went at the goalkeeper. He got all the force, but Ilner couldn't get out of the way. It came too quickly.
So this round is your chance to relive those emotions, but in quiz form. Here's how it works. I will ask you a football-based trivia question with a numerical value for the answer. One team will shoot by revealing their answer first. The opposing team will then get the chance to save by picking their answer in response. The closest team to the correct answer scores or saves accordingly. For the first four penalties, you will alternate between who scores and who saves first, so there is no significant advantage. And then the fifth penalty, should it be decisive, will be done blind and you will both reveal your answers at the same time. Winning team scores 5 points.
I need this big.
And if at any point you get an answer exactly right, you will win 3 bonus points. We toss the coin, see who goes first. Josh, you will take the first penalty.
Whose end are we kicking? Our end.
Here is your first penalty question. How many times during the 90s did Alex Ferguson win the Manager of the Month prize?
Oh, my word. I reckon he won it an average of 2.5 times a season, so 25.
In the 90s?
Chris and Tom, yeah.
How many times during the 90s did Alex Ferguson win the Manager of the Month prize?
That's a good guess.
Cheers, mate.
Can we discuss it?
Yeah.
Thanks. What did you guess?
2.5 times. 25.
But then he's not...
25 is more than that.
OK.
I think 32.
OK.
I mean, who's it going to go to?
I just don't know if they'd give it to him that much. Go for it. I think you're right. I think let's go.
32.
So okay. Higher.
They've gone higher. The correct answer, you'll be surprised to hear, is 9.
What? Yeah.
Josh scores.
Oh, tucked away. Sent him the wrong
That's
way.
One of those, like, a bad penalty that goes in. And then the crowd goes, ooh.
Okay, penalty number 2. Chris and Tom go first. The ball used in professional football has been the same size for 20 years. What is the circumference in inches?
Oh.
And we'll think about your waist. Your waist. 30.
Okay, 38.
I think it's got to be...
14.
Yeah, I was going to say 16.
Were you? 15, yeah. Then.
15.
I'm going higher.
They've shot with 15. Josh higher. Is going higher. The correct answer is 28 inches.
God damn it.
Josh saves.
Blimey. Same as a person.
Yeah.
A person thin.
Penalty number 3. Josh, you shoot first.
28 inches.
Posh Spice's waist.
She's thinner than 28 inches, I imagine.
That's why Beckham was so attracted to her.
She's kept footballs in her skirts.
As they went down to bed, it's the same as putting your footy down for a break.
How tall to the nearest centimetre is Diego Maradona?
Right, he is 165 centimetres.
Chris, Tom?
I've written down 160 centimetres.
We'll stick with that.
Yeah, we're going to go lower.
I mean, this is incredible.
He's 162.5 centimetres.
It's 28 inches.
The correct answer...
He's so good at football, he's the same diameter as a football.
The correct answer is 162.52 centimetres.
What?
Oh, he's done it!
What?
He's done it!
By 0.2! we just said lower, though. It's lower, isn't it? So lower...
No, it's who's closest.
No, but we guess lower.
No, but it's who's closest.
Oh, for fuck.
That's insane.
So... I mean,
that's insane.
That is the smallest of margins. Okay.
Oh,
that's 3-0 in the penalty shootout.
That's the penalty shootout. 3-0.
It's done. It's over.
Yeah.
It's a victory.
It's a victory. Man.
Your players are charging from the halfway line to hug you. Okay, it's time now for the final round of the quiz, 90s Football Mastermind. As before, each player will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions on their chosen specialist subject. 1 point for each correct answer. This time round, Tom and Josh will play. Josh, you're up first. Your specialist subject this time is Euro 92.
Can I do better than my 2 points for the Spice Boys?
Your time starts now. Denmark won the tournament, but which team did they replace?
Yugoslavia.
Correct. Which new law was introduced immediately after the tournament?
Back pass.
Correct. In which country was the tournament held?
Sweden.
Correct. Who scored England's only goal of that
David
tournament?
Platt.
Correct. Four players shared joint scorer with 3 goals each. Name 2 of them.
Riedler.
Yep.
And a man called Henrik Larsson, but not that Henrik Larsson.
Correct.
Wow.
How big were the squads at the tournament? How many?
20.
Players? Correct.
Oh, my God.
How many goals in total were scored at the tournament?
Oh, man. 16 games. 2.5. About 47.
32.
Oh.
Name one of the 2 Denmark goalscorers in the final.
John Jensen.
Correct. In what city was the final held?
Stockholm.
Gothenburg.
Oh.
Finally, host nation Sweden were one of 2 debutants at the Euros. Who were the other?
Denmark.
The correct answer was Scotland.
Oh, why didn't I say Scotland? It was obviously Scotland.
How did Scotland get to an 18 tournament? Imagine that. One of the best 8 teams in Europe.
Congratulations. Congratulations, Josh. You scored 7 points.
Tidy.
And finally, Tom, you're in the hot seat. You have 90 seconds to answer 10 questions on your chosen specialist subject, which is the life and times of Wolves legend Stephen George Ball. Now, the scores are very, very tight.
George was one he'd revised.
I genuinely thought that was coming.
You need
4 to draw.
Oh.
5 for the victory.
Come on, Parry. This is pressure. What would Bully do?
Your 90 seconds
Come on.
Start now. Where was Bully born?
Tipton.
Correct. In his 13-year spell at Wolves, how many goals in total did he score?
306.
Correct.
Oh, Parry.
How many hat-tricks did he score for the club?
18.
Correct.
Come on, Parry.
Bully scored his final goal for Wolves on the 26th of September 1998 against which side?
Bradford. Oh, no, hang on.
I have to take your answer.
Bury.
The correct answer.
He's panicked was just Bury. Before Bury. That was to draw it. Oh, my God.
In what year did he receive an MBA for his services to football?
MBA,
apologies.
99.
Correct.
There we go, Parry.
Against which team did he play his final competitive appearance for Wolves on the last day of the 98-99 season?
That was Bradford.
Correct.
Oh, he's done it!
Against which team did he make his full England international debut?
Scotland.
Correct.
Oh, he's crazy.
How many England goals did he score?
4.
Correct. What was his record goals scored in all competitions in a single season?
52.
Correct.
Oh,
this is amazing.
Unbelievable.
And finally, what star sign is Bully?
Born in March.
He's a Taurus, surely. He's Taurus the ball.
Born in March. Oh, yeah, I'll go Taurus.
The correct answer was Aries.
Oh.
He scored an impressive 8 out of 10, and more importantly, the victory. Oh.
Well done, Parry.
Yes, finally.
Congratulations.
Finally, victory's gone.
Well done,
boys.
That's it for the quiz. Thank you to all our guests this series: Ivo, Graham, Doro, Brian, Alan Kirbishley, Tom Davies, Darren Huckabee, Max Rushton, Ben Partridge, and last but not least, Tom Parry. Thank you to everyone who sent in correspondence. We promise we'll get through as many as we can in due course, so please do keep them coming. Have a lovely Christmas and wonderful New Year's. We'll be back in spring 2020 with a new series. Until then, Robbie Slater, see you later. I don't want a lot for Christmas.